Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, we'll talk about Chris Taylor's elbow and his comments about coming back to the Dodgers, plus Clayton Kershaw's comments about his decision to stay. Then we'll dig into the opening day roster and the batting order for the star-studded Dodgers. So let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. This is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Or even better, please subscribe in all those places so you never miss a day, because you know we're not going to. If this is your first time listening or watching, my name is Jeff Snyder, and that right there is my co-host, Vince Samperio. I won't point because I never know which direction to point. Vince and I are both lifelong Dodger fans, just like you, and we've also both spent time covering the Dodgers in the press box and in the locker room, so we're not quite insiders, which is a good thing, but we bring you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue every weekday morning. So again, please subscribe everywhere, especially on YouTube. We are very, very close to 1,000 subscribers, and that's a big number for us, so please do that. And today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. Let's talk about the Dodgers. First, Vince, I just want to say, I think it's sad that our listeners and viewers can't see us while that intro song is playing, because one of my favorite things about when you and I actually do the podcast together is, as that's playing, you and I are just both kind of, you know, we're not really dancing to it, but we're both definitely bobbing our heads to our awesome intro music.
Yeah, getting in the zone. For as much as I liked our old intro music, this one just gets you right in the zone. Now that, especially now that we're on camera, you know, got to be 100% ready.
Absolutely. So lots to talk about. A nice thing about spring training, there's games. The Dodgers are now 0-2 and 2. Do they have two ties? I think they have.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I think they had two ties and then two. They lost by one run and I think left the tying run in scoring position in the ninth inning of that game. And then they had the tying run at the plate in today's game. So, you know, luckily spring training results don't matter much. And there's not even that much to talk about. You know, probably Miguel Vargas is starting to open up a few eyes a little bit. Maybe we'll talk about him later this week. But there has been a little bit of news coming out of Dodgerland. We found out on Monday that Chris Taylor had arthroscopic surgery on his elbow over the offseason. Sounds like shortly after the season ended, something that's been bothering him for a while. And he said that it actually bothered him more when he was hitting than he was throwing. But that's why Taylor has not yet played the field in spring training. He's been DHing when he has played, because their throwing program for him is just, he's not quite there to playing in a game yet. But they do say they expect him to play second base in a spring training game sometime soon. I was a little bit surprised to hear about this, or I guess I was surprised about the fact that we hadn't heard about this before.
Yeah, it's one of those things where a couple of times now in the past, the Dodgers have had some injuries either get not diagnosed or just not told to us. You know, Joe Kelly pitched with, what do you say, like 60% of his of the ability to use his shoulder for almost a whole season. So, yeah, interesting to say that it did hurt him, because as we all remember in the postseason, which theoretically is when it was injured already, he hit the walk-off home run to put them into the NLDS. He had the 3-home run game in the NLCS. So as much as it bothered him at the plate, it didn't bother him too much.
Yeah, we should all be so bothered. Yeah. I do wonder if it came into play at all with his free agency. You know, obviously the Dodgers knew about it. And you wonder, obviously, if he had gotten deep into talks with another team, they would have had to know about it. But I wonder if, you know, we wanted to talk about his comments anyway, that what he and Andrew Friedman reportedly told each other, which is basically Friedman saying, we weren't going to let you go anywhere. And Taylor saying, I wasn't going to go anywhere. But you have to wonder if Taylor might have been more aggressive on the free agent market if he hadn't just had elbow surgery.
It's very possible. I mean, you know, I don't know if he knew the extent of what it was. Obviously, he knew that would bother him. Now, if it was something like Tommy John, like he would have needed, then obviously he would have been out for the year, or it would I guess now he could have been a DH, but he would have not been able to play the field for a year. That would have changed, you know, the landscape of what it was for him. So, but at the end of the day, I don't know. I seem to want to trust Chris Taylor and him saying that he didn't want to leave. The Dodgers obviously didn't want to leave. They made that, you know, they kind of made that decision between Taylor and Kike the year before. And when they gave Taylor the extension, Kike ended up walking. And yeah, I mean, he's a guy that fills he used to be a luxury. Now he's a need for these Dodgers. You know, he can fill in wherever, especially now with extra guy at the plate. They can get his bat in there whenever they need to. And he just seems like a guy who doesn't want to embrace too much change. He's comfortable. I'm sure his fiance now, I believe, loves LA. So just a combination of things. He wasn't a guy that was going to make anything crazy in terms of money. The Dodgers gave him enough of obviously what he wanted. And yeah, I'm going to take their word for it. Although it probably changed it just a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. I also, I guess part of the reason that it's surprising we didn't hear about it is because, and a lot of times in this situation, you expect maybe a team to use that as, you know, oh, let's accidentally leak his elbow issue to affect his market, you know. And, you know, the Dodgers, who didn't give Clayton Kershaw a qualifying offer simply because they wanted to be fair to him, it makes sense that they also wouldn't leak Chris Taylor's private medical info. And maybe I'm being cynical thinking any team would, but seems like there's probably a team or two that, or a general manager or two that would have been at least tempted to do that.
Yeah, I mean, the Braves got their story out before Freddie Freeman got to talk. So you really never know in this industry or this business what's going to happen when a team either wants to save money or wants to make sure that they are able to put the best team on the field.
Yeah, and speaking of Clayton Kershaw, he sat down with Kirsten Watson for an interview on Sportsnet LA that was not necessarily much new information, but got a little bit more detail on the process that Kershaw went through. And it sounds like he wasn't totally sure that his elbow was really ready until a little bit later in the process. It seems like maybe retirement was a real option earlier in the lockout. But he said that by the time there was a couple weeks before the lockout ended, he and Ellen had decided that they wanted to come back to LA. And basically it came down to he wants to win a World Series. And he mentioned he's good friends with Chris Young, the general manager of the Rangers. Obviously he has a relationship with Chris Woodward. And, but I thought it was interesting that Kershaw did say, come back for one more year, and then kind of said, and we'll see what happens next year.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the nature of the 1 year deal. Obviously on his side, we know he doesn't like to be one that takes up money if he's not pitching. And so, you know, the Dodgers got a nice healthy discount that really helped him out this offseason. The 1 year deal, like we mentioned before, I think it's more of a, okay, if my elbow can hold up, then I'll reevaluate. And if it doesn't, then obviously it looks like it might be the other time for retirement. But it is interesting for him. We know Clayton Kershaw, as intense as his training regimen is every single year. And, you know, he said that he didn't really throw much. Obviously, he had to throw a certain amount to know that his elbow was going to be ready or not, but he didn't really throw much. So he's maybe going to be fresher. I don't know if that'll help him out be fresher or not, but the very least, it's always, you know, this is two stories now where you two guys, two all-star caliber players want to come back to the Dodgers, maybe for a little less money than they could have got somewhere else, and for the fact that they want to win, and that's always refreshing to hear.
Yeah, Dave Roberts must be a terrible manager to play for, huh?
Yeah.
But yeah, winning speaks volumes and that commitment. So I still have a hard time seeing Kershaw ever pitching in a different uniform than the Dodgers, although after hearing him talk to Kirsten, I'm a little bit less confident in that.
Yeah, I mean, he did say it came down to the Rangers and Dodgers. And, you know, realistically, we never thought the Rangers as a threat just because they weren't able, you know, weren't in position to win a World Series. We'll see how they do this year. I don't think they'll probably be playoff contenders just because of the expanded playoffs this year. But if they do take that next step, you know, it's very possible that Kershaw does think about it. But I just can't see it happening. But that's also, you know, there's a lot of stuff I haven't been able to see happen, and it did happen.
Yep. So Chris Taylor and Clayton Kershaw will be on the Dodgers opening day roster. We're going to come back in a second and talk about who else we think will join them. So thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day, and keep it locked on Dodgers. It is that time of year again as college basketball's tournament is finally upon us. From all the latest odds, contests, and player props, betonline.net is the number one source for all your sports betting needs and info. BetOnline remains the best spot for all of your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. And it's not just basketball. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino games. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Thank you for listening to Locked On Dodgers and making us your first listen every day. We also want to tell you about Locked On MLB Prospects. Host Lindsey Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia, and he's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It is free and available wherever you get podcasts. All right, Vince. So roster time, you know, it's never too early to start speculating on what the Dodgers opening day roster might be. And, you know, you talked a little bit about it on yesterday's show, and, you know, it seems like the pitching, we kind of know what the position player battles are. We'll talk about that some, but it seems like more of the intrigue is on the pitching side this time, don't you think?
Yeah, when you really break it down, and I've been doing this with my friends and my brother and my cousin, just like talking about Dodgers as we watching these spring training games, and you're like, oh, I forgot about that guy, or oh, I forgot about this guy. Like, especially when it comes down to the pitching side. On the hitting side, it really only looks like there's one spot open, assuming Hanser Alberto is ready for opening day. If not, then there's kind of two spots for three or four guys. So there's not too much intrigue there. But, yeah, the pitching is where we really don't know what's going to happen. Dave Roberts said that Ferguson wouldn't be ready for opening day. He did throw an inning in Monday's game. So I'm not if he's not ready by opening day, he'll be ready shortly thereafter. So it's just going to be a matter of figuring out what they want to do. And now that they do have five starting pitchers, technically, that pushes Tony Gonsolin, David Price, Mitch White into the next tier of reliever / starting pitcher, or if they want to go with six-man rotation. So there's definitely all the intrigue on the pitching side for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm interested to see if their assessment of Caleb Ferguson changes after his performance on Monday, because obviously, you know, spring training results don't matter, but he looked good. His stuff looked good. And I imagine it was, you know, they talked a little bit about it on the broadcast. Rick Monday and Tim Neverett were talking about how just pitching in that game has to be an accomplishment for Ferguson, an exciting and emotional moment. And yeah, I mean, to get it back out there and pitch a good inning, his stuff looked good. And so, you know, they probably, I would think, would stick to their original plan of not having him on the opening day roster, if for no other reason than what we're talking about in a minute, that they might have some piggyback starters going on, you know? And so they might not have necessarily room for him. And if you are doing piggyback starts, maybe you don't need as many relievers anyway. If you have two guys, you know, filling seven innings between the two of them, you're pretty good. But like you said, they have the five starters, Buehler, Julio, Kershaw. I said them in that order because somebody got mad at me the other day because I listed Kershaw before Julio and just insisted that I was making some big proclamation in that way. And when really it was the order that I thought of them, but you know, so this time I said Julio first. Buehler, Julio, Kershaw, and then Heaney and Tyler Anderson. Interesting that it's four lefties, which means Jock Peterson's never going to get to play against the Dodgers. But then you do have those other at least three guys that you mentioned, Tony Gonsolin, David Price, and who was the other one?
Mitch White.
Oh, and Andre Jackson too. Yeah. You know, and so – you've got those four guys who are also, at least in theory, starting pitchers. And it seems unlikely that all four of those guys would make the roster. There's more to David Price not making the roster than the others because he is being paid a lot. Andre Jackson, I know for sure, has options left. I don't know off the top of my head about the other three. Do you?
I would imagine Gonsolin does because he's only been around since 2020. So he has to have at least one option year. And then when it comes to Mitch White, he might have one more.
Tony Gonsolin has one. I'm just looking it up right now. Mitch White has one also. Yeah. So three of those four guys. So any of those guys could be optioned except for David Price. Even with that said, it seems like David Price is, you know, one of the more precarious roster spots, don't you think?
Yeah, it's one of those where he's just kind of showed up and it's like, oh yeah, you're still around. You're still here for one more year. And it doesn't, you know, there's an article written about him about, you know, how he wants to contribute. I haven't really seen anything from Dave Roberts specifically, other than like, you know, he's here and he's competing. And, you know, the Dodgers at this point, they're paying him regardless. He's already on the roster. I did mention yesterday that maybe they try to pay it down. If he has like a decent spring, pay it down and trade him in order to alleviate some of that. But also from what we saw last year, they kind of need as many pitchers as they can get just because, you know, the nature of it. And maybe it's one of those where they hope that he shows value early on. Maybe they have him in that piggyback rotation, hope that he shows value early on. And like I said, maybe pay down that salary in order to trade him if they need to, because yeah, at the end of the day, you know, with Jackson and Mitch White and then Gonsolin, realistically, those three would be ahead of price right now, theoretically, just based on, you know, what we saw last year. You got Ryan Pepiot, who would and come up at some point during the year. And then you got Dustin May, who it seems like they're going to keep as a starter role. So maybe, you know, down the line in August, he's in back in the rotation. So there's a lot going on there. And I think, you know, it seems like at this point, David Price is one of those where his value can only go up, kind of similar to Carl Crawford, where the value goes up and they're able to maybe get something for him or whatever. Okay. But if not, then he might be a casualty early in the year.
Yeah, and then when we look at the bullpen, I see five guys who their spots in the bullpen are absolutely secure, no doubt about it. Barring injury, they're going to be on the opening day roster. That's in alphabetical order, just in case anybody's wondering why I'm doing this order. Phil Bickford, Bruce Dar-Gratterall, Daniel Hudson, Blake Treinen, and Alex Vesia. Those five guys, you know, are absolute locks to make the roster if they're healthy. Then you've got Evan Phillips, who is a very good possibility. You've got Victor Gonzalez, who's looking to be in great shape and a good possibility. You've got Garrett Clevenger and you got Justin Brule. That's kind of that next tier. Obviously, they can't carry nine relievers, but just with those nine guys, it makes you think, okay, well, like Darian Nunez, just that's why I still think he's a DFA candidate, because they don't have room for Darian Nunez. And unless a bunch of people get hurt, it's hard to picture them ever having room for Darian Nunez, you know?
Especially just like the sheer amount of lefties they have. They got Brule, they got Clevenger, they got, well, Ferguson, they got Price, they got Vesia. I mean, that's a lot of lefties on top of an already lefty heavy rotation. So, yeah, in theory, he's probably the next one up. The other one that won't be ready for opening day, I don't think he's pitched so far in spring, Tommy Canley. Which, like I said, not for the sake of this talk of opening day, but he's also going to be there at some point. So it's a matter of, as we've seen before, if you got an option, you're probably going to get that option you're used this year for sure. The only thing that we mentioned before is that he won't be able to come up and down, up and down, up and down. The Dodgers are going to have to let some guys throw. They're going to have to let some guys figure it out. Now, you know, what they could do is, hey, you go, you know, pitch 10 times in a month, and then the next month you get option and we bring the next guy up. You know, they could do it that way. That'll keep the five, but they won't be able to use it as freely as they have before.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, along with that, they can't use the injured list quite as much as a roster manipulation tool, because you have to be on the injured list for at least 15 days for a pitcher too. It's kind of interesting, because the Dodgers bullpen doesn't jump out at you as being, this is a lights out bullpen, but then we're talking about, we already have, I mean, seven or eight guys there who that could make up a pretty darn good bullpen. Just those guys we mentioned, especially when you factor in, you know, Tony Gonsolin, whichever of those guys don't end up in the starting rotation. You know, it's there's a lot of potential there for this pitching staff to be really solid, and a lot of potential for the starting pitchers or the piggyback tandems to get deep in the game so the relievers don't have to get used too much.
Yeah, well, like with the bullpen, you know, talked about it with Jansen leaving yesterday. He was, you know, still that star in the bullpen, still that big name, and now that one's out the door. Blake Treinen, you know, could be that next guy. He's been a closer before. He's had, you know, some really good years in Oakland, had some really good years last couple years, but he's not a big name guy. They've already said he's not going to be, you know, the closer. He'll be more of the guy that comes in key situations. But it's in terms of where the lineup is, a lot of star power. Maybe not as much depth right now once you get past the first 10, but you're already 10 deep at that point. Whereas the bullpen, not so much star power, but it's pretty deep.
Yeah. And talk about the left-handed heaviness. I don't know if I've ever seen this. There's currently 23 pitchers on the Dodgers 40-man roster, and 12 of them, more than half of them, throw left-handed. It's crazy. You know, if you count Trevor Bauer, he's still listed on the 40-man roster page, even though he's technically not currently on the 40-man roster. That evens it at 12 and 12. But, yeah, you just don't usually see that many lefties in one system.
I know. Was it last year or 2 years ago? They only had one lefty in the pen at all. So it's you know, been an interesting time. I mean, yeah, it was 2020. What, they only had Victor Gonzalez pretty much coming out from the left side.
And I'm old enough to remember around the time you were born, the Dodgers went like 4.5 seasons without a left-handed starting pitcher. They was like, I think it was 580-something straight games were started by right-handed pitchers between Danny Baez and Bob Ojeda. Yeah, so it's the world changes. But, you know, I guess it's that Jock Peterson effect, you know?
Yeah, it's all to neutralize Jock Peterson.
Yeah, so we didn't really get any answers on the opening day roster. We've still got a couple days for that, or a couple weeks for that. And, you know, we will get more information. We'll get a little more clarity as things go on. You know, Garrett Clevenger pitched on Monday, didn't look great, but looked okay. Alex Vesia also didn't look great. His command wasn't there. You know, obviously nothing to worry too much about, but we're going to see these guys pitch over the next couple weeks. We'll get more information on their health and where they're at in their throwing progression and everything. And so we'll probably have this similar conversation a couple more times in the next couple weeks, as we get more information. But we're going to come back in a minute and we're going to talk about the actual batting order. Like, we know basically for the most part who the position players are going to be on the roster. And we definitely know who the top 10 players are going to be. And, you know, we have kind of our starting nine. We're going to talk about what order should we put those guys in. So thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. And please keep it locked on Dodgers. Let me tell you about Rock Auto. RockAuto.com is, if you ever need auto parts, you should go to RockAuto.com, because your alternative is going down to an auto parts store. And if you do that, you have to go into an auto parts store, first of all. And, you know, I'm not a prissy little boy, but ew. And you're going to pay more. They're going to have to order in your part anyway, because they just carry generic parts. They don't have the part you need. So they're going to order it in. They're the middleman, so they're going to upsell you, you know, charge you more. Instead, just sit at your computer or go on your phone, go to rockauto.com, find your make and model of car or truck and see all the parts listed for it. And you'll notice, oh, wow, they have everything and it's less expensive. You know, why would I go pay 100% more at an auto parts store when I can just order it on Rock Auto, save 50% and be happier, not have to leave my couch, not even have to put on underwear, you know, underwear. Wow. Why did I go there? Anyway, rockauto.com. Whatever you're wearing, they are available because it's a website. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, and write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. But don't mention the underwear thing, okay? Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. All right, we're back. You know, we didn't talk about underwear at all during that ad break, as far as I remember. So let's talk about the Dodgers lineup, Vince, because you know, I think you and I both agree for the most part. I mean, the Dodgers, like always, they're going to use all the guys on there. They're going to give guys days off. They're going to switch the DH around. But I think you and I both agree that their starting nine, meaning the nine guys who are going to get the most starts, are Freddie Freeman, Max Muncy, Trey Turner, Justin Turner, AJ Pollock, Cody Bellinger, Mookie Betts, Will Smith, and Chris Taylor, right?
Yeah, I'm in the accordance.
All right, so what the heck are they going to do with this batting order? Because no matter what, you've got somebody who has made an all-star team or is going to make an all-star team batting ninth.
Yeah, it's pretty insane. So when I did it for work, I put it how I would want it to go. There's a lot of different variances of the lineup around that time of people saying, oh, is this the best lineup in baseball? Is this, you know, top lineup in baseball history? Whatever the case is. The interesting one is, I think the one MLB or somebody put out had Will Smith batting fourth, which I didn't have. But where I have it, and I can be, you know, talked out of this very easily, but I have Mookie, Trey, Freddie, Muncy, Turner, Bellinger, Smith, Taylor, Pollock. And that's with Muncy at DH and Taylor at second. And yeah, as we've seen before, they might want to break up the lefties and the righties a little bit more, where Freeman and Muncy wouldn't bat back to back. But it's hard for me to, at this point, to have a lineup with Max Muncy not hitting higher than fourth. And then Justin Turner, just, you know, based on age and just based on how he is, you know, Freddie Freeman's a really good hitter. Usually Turner's in that three spot because he's a really good hitter. But Freddie Freeman's up there with them in terms of that. So that's where I have it. But like I said, once you get past like Mookie, Trey, 1-2, you can really almost throw out any combination and it's going to work out.
Yeah, I don't even know if I agree with you on the 1-2. Partly for the purpose of mixing things up, you know, the lefty-righty thing. But also, like, I know Mookie's most comfortable in the leadoff spot, but also so is Trey Turner. And so somebody is going to not be in their most comfortable spot. And for me, Turner is more of a prototypical leadoff man. He's going to get on base. He's going to steal bases. And he doesn't have quite the power that Mookie does. Trey has plenty of power, don't get me wrong, but not quite as much. And so I think if I was making this lineup, and I still stand by my assessment that what they ought to do is put all the names in a hat every game and just pull them out at random. But if I was making the lineup, I would go Trey Turner, Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, Max Muncy, Will Smith, Cody Bellinger, Chris Taylor, Justin Turner, and who does that leave? AJ Pollock. Yeah, and those last three, I could see any order of those. You know, maybe you go Taylor ninth, just as kind of that, you know, the second leadoff man kind of idea of second time through the order. He's batting right before Trey Turner. But yeah, I think I like that left, right for the first six batters. And, you know, really, you really do have anybody. Freddie Freeman could be fine in any – Freddie Freeman would be a good leadoff man with that on-base percentage, you know. He could be fine in any position in the lineup. Max Muncy has batted leadoff at times in the past, you know. But I think when you've got Trey Turner, one of the fastest guys in baseball, led the league in batting average last year, gets on base pretty well and can steal a bunch of bases, I think that that makes sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. You know, like I said, no matter how you really put it, this lineup would make sense. And this is like opening day lineup. Obviously, as time goes on, you know, the one big thing I do think about is Cody Bellinger, you know, just kind of seeing, you know, we saw this with – we've seen this with guys before, namely like the Yasiel Puig, the last one I remember, where it seemed to be he hit more comfortably toward the bottom of the order, whether it was pressure he put on himself, whether it was – you know, regardless of whatever it is, it felt like that. I think that's one route they could go with Bellinger, you know, stick him in 7, 8, 9, somewhere down there and, you know, have no pressure. He already doesn't have the pressure. I mean, he went from being an MVP on this team and being the guy to, you know, being almost another guy on this team and not even if he had regressed less than he did regress, he still would be that. You know, Freddie Freeman would have been better than him. Mookie Betts would be better than him. Trey Turner would be better than him. You know, Max Muncy would be similar to him where it's a lot of power, maybe not so much, you know, he might be the better hitter. Muncy has a little bit more power in terms of like every year power, where Bellinger had been a little bit more variant. But I think that he's going to be the key one of where they want to put him. And yeah, Chris Taylor in the ninth spot, as much as, you know, you lose a little bit of at bats there and you maybe give a little bit more to Adrian Pollock, who was really good last year. So yeah, it's just kind of ridiculous that AJ Pollock, who was one of the better hitters last year, and Chris Taylor, who was an all-star last year, and Cody Bellinger, who was an MVP 2 years ago or 3 years ago now, are all candidates to bat ninth.
Yeah, and any one of them could. You know, I think they ought to make it a goal to make sure that everybody bats ninth at least once this year. You know, one other thing that they could consider, and I don't necessarily think it's the best idea, but it's an option, would be to put Bellinger, you know, in the second spot. Because, you know, with Trey Turner on first base, that whoever's batting second is going to see more fastballs, is going to, you know, have a slightly distracted pitcher, you know, having to keep an eye on Turner. And so, you know, maybe that is a way to get Bellinger in the groove. I do think, I agree with you though, that the better idea is to put him deeper in the order where there's less pressure. And, you know, you could do the same thing if he's batting right behind, you know, Chris Taylor or somebody, you know, Chris Taylor can steal a base too. So, you know, you get some of that same benefit too, not quite to the extent of Trey Turner, but yeah, it's funny you mentioned the opening day lineup, because the opening against the Rockies. So I assume Herman Marquez is going to be pitching. So we don't even know for sure if that'll be the starting nine on opening day, even though this team doesn't really have in years past, there's been guys who were obvious platoon guys. And in years past, AJ Pollock was one of those guys. I don't know that he is right at this point, obvious platoon guy. And so, but it wouldn't shock me to see Gavin Lux in the starting lineup on opening day over AJ Pollock. I don't think any of the other righty, you know, Justin Turner hits righties just fine. And obviously everybody else. Yeah. So that's probably the nine guys we talked about are probably the starting nine on opening day, but it seems like there's at least a chance that Gavin Lux squeezes his way in there.
Yeah, and as we've seen, sometimes this stuff gets figured out just based on injuries, unfortunately. AJ Pollock sat out on Monday's game, just general soreness, which at this point in the spring is not a huge deal. You know, Gavin Lux will be getting plenty of bats this spring to get going and see what he's got. And, it's just at this point, you know, obviously there's going to be days where it's frustrating and this offense doesn't score five runs, but for the most part, you would imagine on most days, this offense is at least going to put up five runs or at least put up good at-bats the whole game and work these pitchers like they've done before. And, you know, it's just going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, and Gavin Lux had two really good at-bats on Monday, drew two walks. And, you know, if he can get on base at that point with his speed, he's another guy in that Trey and Mookie conversation of guys who ought to be leading off. You know, skill set-wise, Gavin Lux is a leadoff man. And so, you know, we'll see what happens. But, yeah, a lot to think about. This is one of my favorite parts of spring training is just kind of watching these things play out and figuring out what it's going to be. And by the time opening day rolls around, you know, usually there's not that many surprises with the final roster, but it seems like this time we're going to, even by the time opening day comes around, we're still going to not be sure. And we're going to be surprised by some of the last minute roster decisions.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's probably, what, like 20 to 22 that are for sure, in barring injury, on the roster, but the last few are who knows. And, you know, this spring, with an abbreviated spring, even different. Over a longer spring, you can see guys a little bit longer, obviously, and have a little bit more of an idea, where here it's going to be, you know, a quick sprint. If a guy has a good spring, he might find his way on the opening day roster just based on that and not based on anything else other than he had a hot 2 weeks.
Yep. And we don't even at this point really even know how big the roster is going to be, because there's been talk about expanding the roster for April. So, you know, we'll see. But you have anything else you want to add for this episode, Vince?
No, I think we're good.
Awesome. Yeah, this was fun. Always fun to have real Dodgers news to talk about. So we remain grateful that the lockout has ended. We remain grateful to all of you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. It really does mean the world to us. For today, for make your second listen, Locked On MLB, where Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, brings you his unique perspective on the major leagues, past and present. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. Now, I mentioned that we are close to 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. I'm hitting refresh right now. We are at 994 at the moment that we're recording this. 1,000 is a big number for YouTube. I don't know if you guys know that, but it's a big deal. So if you haven't yet subscribed on YouTube, please do that. That would mean the world to us. If you obviously subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so that you make sure to get it every day. We love talking to you guys and we love that you keep showing up. So thank you for that. If you have friends or family who might like the show as much as you do, please tell them about it. You can follow us on Instagram and on Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. Our phone number for voicemails or text messages is 323-863-LOCK-5625. And our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com. So reach out to us anytime you want. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. I just got confused, man. I tried to mix things up, but I just mess it up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to say. Thanks for listening. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one.